Praise the Lord for giving me another opportunity to share with you the Word of God. Today the topic I would like to share with you is, are you really saved? Are you really saved? The passage I use is 1 John 5, 11-13. May I ask brothers and sisters to read it in unison. Let's go. And this is the testimony. I write these things to you so the passage today, I use it to ask a very interesting question. Are we really saved? I'm going to break down my sermon, the message, into several parts. First is the introduction, then is the contents of salvation, and why is it important to be sure that you are saved? The fourth one is, how do I know that I'm saved? And what changes have you experienced since you come to Christ? And that's the conclusions. So let's bow our heads and pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here to worship you. May your Spirit speak into our hearts. We want more of you with passion for you, as Pastor Kurt prayed for us. We pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Several years back when I was at USC, a student of mine who came from Austria. So I took a brother from our church to go and visit him, try to share the gospel with him. And during the conversation, I shared the difference between science and faith. And I told him that because he doesn't believe in God, and said actually this, being a scientist, you can have faith. And there's no contradiction between believing in God and science. So I shared that message. And then I asked my brother from this church to share his own testimony, because we are a team. I shared the message and he shared his testimony. I was really impressed by his testimony. So today I would like to share with you. And even now, I remember that testimony very well. He said, you know what? He was talking to my student from Austria. I thought I was saved a long time, but actually I was saved just recent years, in the last few years. I was raised from a Christian family here in America. And then I went to church every week. I was even baptized. However, the way of my life during on Monday, from Monday to Friday, is very different from the behavior that on Sunday. So there's certain inconsistency between my life in the weekday and the life during the Sunday. Actually, it was not very good, especially during weekdays. So one guy in the church, not this church, from another church he was in, challenged him one day. He said, brother, suppose something happened to you today and you had a car accident and you died and your spirit went to heaven, and then at the gate of heaven the angel who was guarding the gate asked you, based on what do I allow you to get in? So the brother challenged him, are you sure you can get in? This brother, remembering what he did during the Monday and Friday, all the naughty things, not good things, what he did, he was not sure. So that church brother knew that he was not really saved. Although he was brought up in a Christian family, he was not really saved. So the brother explained to him, what do you mean by being saved? So that brother, understanding that, knelt down and prayed to receive Christ. And from that moment on, his life changed. What happened on Monday to Friday was consistent what would happen on Sunday. Later on, he came to seminary school, and became a missionary. Are you aware of a term called cultural Christians? There's a term called cultural Christians. What do you mean by cultural Christians? They're Christians by culture. They're raised in a culture, they're raised in a Christian culture where their parents went to church every week and they even got baptized. They also go to Sunday school very diligently. But they were just Christians by culture. I'm sorry to say that nowadays in America, there are many Christians, they're actually cultural Christians. They are not really saved. They just learn the culture, how to behave on Sunday. They are not really saved. So today, let's talk about what is the meaning of salvation. The meaning of salvation. How do you know that we are really saved? What's the contents of salvation? I think most of you are familiar with the concept called the four spiritual laws, right? First, we believe there's God. And second, we admit our sins and repent. The third one is that we believe Jesus Christ, Son of God, who came from heaven to save us by dying on the cross for us and rise again. And fourthly, we are willing to offer our lives to Him so that we live according to His will. We offer our lives to Him. So you heard about these four spiritual laws. But let me test you. Do you remember when Jesus came out to preach, start sharing the gospel when he became an adult? What was the first sentence he said? When Jesus came out to preach the gospel, start being an evangelist, do you remember the first sentence that Jesus said? What is that first sentence? Let's read together Matthew 4:17. Let's go. The key word, the kingdom is clear, and you need to repent. Nowadays, miracles happening all around the world. There are a lot of Chinese, our fellow Chinese came to Christ. I was in Europe, in China, in America. Whenever there's evangelist meetings, talks, many people come to Christ. But after they raise hands to receive Christ, many of them actually, their life doesn't change. Their life do not change. Do they know about the four spiritual laws? Yes, they do. They even pray according to the four spiritual laws. Why did they not change? Repent. They understand in their mind they're sinners. Intellectually, they say, I am a sinner, I need Christ. But actually, there's no deep sense of remorse. Psychologically, they do not have that feeling. Intellectually, they say, yeah, I'm a sinner. Who cannot sin? Who can avoid sin at all? Everyone sin. But to them, it's not a big thing, it's not a big deal. Brothers and sisters, the key word here is repent. Do you really have a deep remorse in your heart that you are a sinner? If you don't, you don't need Christ. If you do not feel that you are so dreadful that you better die and Jesus come to you living you, then how can you change? Someone who has not died will never rise again. If you have not died in front of the cross, you have never risen of the cross. I led many people to Christ. But some people did. After receiving Christ, by uttering prayer, their life doesn't change. Because in their mind, in the concept, they think they're sinner, but they don't have that deep sense of remorse. They don't feel that they are sinner deep inside their heart. That's why Jesus is just a concept to them. And that's why when they say, I receive Christ, it means what? I get a ticket to the heaven. And get a ticket of blessings. The four spiritual truths means what? Slides are jumping too fast ahead of me. The spiritual truth is you have to repent. Understand that you are really a sinner. That you are so bad you better die. Not physically. But die to yourself and ask Jesus to replace you in your lives. And what? Number four. Give your life to Him. When I was in high school, I felt myself so bad. I said, unless you save me and change me, I have no hope at all, Lord. Am I willing to offer my life entire to you? Jesus is not just attached on. It's the whole purpose of my life. Have you done that? Or to you, salvation is just a concept. It's just a nice thing that you go on Sunday and put a tag on. It doesn't really get into you in your heart. And if you don't have that, it can show in your life. Your life is not transformed because Jesus has not blessed your life. Repent, brothers and sisters. Deep from your heart and recognize that without Him, you cannot really live. Died and rise again. With Him, Jesus is your Lord. And that is the goal of your life. Offer yourself to Him. And you know what? If you do that, the marvelous plan of God in you will be revealed stage by stage. And you see blessings after blessings that He prepared for you. Otherwise, you are just one of those cultural Christians. You are not really saved. Repent and offer your life. Then He called the crowd to Him along with His disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus said, those who follow me must take up his or her cross. You need to die to yourself so that He can live in you. On the other stream, some people actually are saved, but they're not sure. So why is it important to be sure that you're saved? Though, if you do not know you are saved, maybe you're not really saved. So tonight is a chance to really repent and ask Jesus to come to surrender your life to Him. But some people, they actually are saved, but they are not sure. What's the problem with that? One time I was invited to preach in a gospel meeting gathering in Jacksonville, Florida. And after I shared my message, I had the altar call. I said, those who are waiting to receive Christ, raise your hands. Very typical, right? Just raise your hands. And then I can see a man. A lot of people just bow down their heads. They do not see each other. It's just me. I'm the speaker, right? I have the right to. I have the license to look. So I look at the hands, and then I can see a man there, sitting there, raise a hand. Very forcefully, raise a hand. With resolution. With a lot of will. So I was so happy. So and several people came to Christ and raised their hands. So after the meeting, I talked to those brothers who invited me over. I said, I saw a man, he raised his hand with a lot of will. I'm so happy. And the other brother said, Dr. Kwong, don't get too excited. You know what? Every speaker he'd invite every time. When the speakers call, this man will raise his hand. Every time. Every time when people call, who have not received in Christ, willingly surrender, raise your hand. He was the first one to raise his hand. Uh-oh. This brother was not sure that he was saved. Now, what's the problem that you are really saved, but you're not sure that you're saved? What's the problem with that? The problem is that you always stay at the starting point. You never grow. You're so hesitant about yourself that you always struggle at the beginning point, and you cannot march on. You know that the spiritual walk is a long way. Receiving Christ is just a starting point. And there are a lot of blessings raised for you, waiting for you on the path. Come on. March on. Press on. Don't just always stand as the starting point. So the purpose of this message is twofolded. If you are not really saved, I urge you to consider it. And if you're not sure about yourself, let's check whether you are saved. You say, how do I know that I'm saved? There are two things you can take in consideration. How do I know? If you're not really saved, consider now. If you're saved, move on and don't stay at the starting point. How do I know that I'm saved? One is due to God's word. The other is due to the seal of the Holy Spirit. Two major points. The first one is we just read. Could I ask the sisters to read it? Sister, please. Apostle John said that, what is the whole purpose of writing this letter, this testimony? Writing this letter to you is to make sure that you know that you have eternal life. Who has eternal life? He who has the Son in him. Who has the Son has life. Who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's very simple. Do you have Jesus in your life? Brothers, let's finish that. I write, these things to you mainly to assure you that, let you know that you have eternal life. Now, interesting, the key word here, I think, is know. In original Greek, I think there are two ways to write. There are two words that represents the word know, in more than two words. One is called, I think, it's ginosko or ginosko. It means it's increasingly known. The other, I don't know how to pronounce it in Greek, maybe Edo or something. It means it's complete. You totally know it. So let me ask you, in the original text in Greek, which word is used here, the word know? The first one or the second one? It's actually the second one. He said, you should know completely for sure that you are saved. This is the assurance of salvation. So for those people who are saved, don't be hesitant. Press on. Rest assured that you are saved already. So the word of God guarantees that we are saved. Not because of just your feelings. The word of God that if you're sure that you really repent and offer your life to Christ, no matter what you do in actions, okay, you do not achieve the salvation by how well do you achieve right now, but it's your heart, you're willing that you're willing to surrender your life. That will gain you the position to be the children of God, and that one guarantee you that you know completely that you are saved. And the second thing is what? It's the seal of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13. May I ask the brothers to read out for us. brothers. And you were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You heard gospel already, you received it. Having believed, having accepted that, you're marked in Him. You're marked in Him with what? You're marked with Jesus with what? With the seal of the Holy Spirit. Just like a stamp. Boom! You belong to Christ. You've had a seal. And just like a license, you can go to heaven. You have a seal. With that seal, you go to heaven. So people understand these words. But you understand the deep meaning of these words. I was really amazed one time when I attended a conference when a speaker tried to explain to us the background of this words. It's amazing. Once you understand the historical background, you have a deep feeling of what these words mean, the seal of the Holy Spirit. And he said, back in that time, the Jews, when they sell land, for example, there's a piece of land they want to sell. I promise to you to sell the land maybe by October 1st, you get the land. It's not October 1st yet, okay? So we just negotiate, we say, we promise. Oh, you give me some down payment. And by October 1st, come and claim the land. But it's not that time yet. But we already settled. The whole transaction is settled. We're just waiting for the time. So according to Jewish tradition where they sell the land, what do? So the owner of this land, the present owner of this land, will get a jar and go to the land, that plot of land, and dig up some dirt and put the dirt into the jar and cover it, the opening of the jar. Cover it, wrap it up. And then put what? Put a seal. So that you cannot just simply take away. And then hand the jar to Yahshua. And this is your jar. So on the October 1st, please show me this jar so that we know that you're the dual owner of this land. And that is the original meaning, the historical background of this called the seal of the Holy Spirit. You say, so what? Now think about the analogy here, brothers and sisters. What does the land represent? The land represents heaven, eternal life. Have you gone to heaven yet? Or not yet, otherwise I don't see you here. So everyone has not gone to heaven yet, right? So physically we are still here. So it's not October 1st yet, we are not back yet, okay? We are all here. But we are guaranteed that we are going to get to that land. That will belong to us. That piece of land will belong to us. We will for sure go to that place. But do we feel that although we do not own the land, do we actually have no feeling at all what heaven life is like? No. The owner, the present owner, has already put some dirt, right? Into the jar. And the jar is delivered to you. You hold on to the jar. And then on October 1st, put the jar and claim the entire piece of land. What is that land? What is heaven? What's the essence of heaven? The essence of heaven is forever with the Lord that we love, we desire, in the presence of the Lord. Enjoy His presence, His glory all the time. But do we have to wait for that moment? You die before you have the feeling? No. Once you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit came into heart. The God is with you already. Not in a total, complete sense, in feeling times, but you have some, right? The little dirt, the little part of dirt is already in you. With the Holy Spirit, the seal, boom! You belong to me. In fact, now I already dwell in you. You feel my presence. Not totally. But in future, when you see me face to face, you see totally But now, as my follower, as my children, I am in you already. So the next thing, how you know that you are safe, is that what kind of changes have you experienced after you accept Christ? Do you feel the changes? After you accept Christ, have you felt some changes? Maybe list some of the elements here. Not all people have all the characteristics, but most Christians will have some. At least one. Some there are two or three. When not some of the new Christians, usually they have two or three already. Some of the older Christians, mature Christians, most likely have all, okay? They feel that at peace. They feel peace in their hearts. Before I came to Christ, whenever something happened in the environment, I get very unsettled. But now I feel that no matter what happened in circumstances, I feel some calmness in my heart, the peace. The outside disturbance do not tend to disturb me too much. Some disturbance, yes, but not that much. That's the peace. Joy. I feel the joys. Sometimes I just laugh, for no reason. It's just really, you just feel very happy sometimes. It's like you feel happiness a lot of time. It's sometimes a very quiet sense of, gentle sense of happiness in your heart. The third one, you feel the love of God.
Remember when my wife shared with me how he pictured God's love to her.
That's actually very, very good. Let me share with you. Shirley said when she first came to Christ after war, she felt that a lot of times she felt this God's love, the Father's love, is so much, it's such like a big father with two big hands and then wrap her up, embrace her. This father is just two big hands, embrace her. Feeling God's love. The fourth one. Do you have a longness for God's word? For example, whenever I'm young, one thing I really like to do is just to sit on the sofa and turn to the Bible. Maybe just read a short passage. That short passage has a calming effect on me, and then I pray. Every morning, I want to do devotion. Not that I have to follow the pastor's order, but I have the loneliness, natural loneliness for God's word. I really like that. I enjoy the presence when I read his word. The fifth one, care for others. Before I came to Christ, I lived only for myself, my own goals. But nowadays, I feel that naturally, what happened to others when they suffer, I want to help out. It seems that there's some kind of the word called compassion. What does the word compassion mean? Passion means feeling, right? Com means what? The same. Together. Share the passion. The sixth one. Not easily getting agitated. Not easy venting the temper. Not very temperamental. The seventh one, there's a deep sense of conscious of sins. Whenever I want to sin, I don't know whether I have the feeling, my heart is like an alarm clock. Just ring. Very strong. You become very sensitive whenever you try to do something that's not. Even in the gray area. You find there's some alarm clock, you know. Just make you feeling so uneasy. You better stop. And you also have a strong feeling that your sins have been forgiven. So let bygone be bygone. Not always like a baggage on you. And you also have the ability to conquer sin. You can do that, not because of you, but the Spirit helps you. The seal of the Holy Spirit helps you. Why? All this is because
the Spirit is testing stamp on you that Jesus is in you already. So the bottom line question today is, are you really saved? Have you really repented? Or just stay at a conceptual level that I'm a sinner. Or you have a deep sense of remorseless. That you don't like yourself, that you really want to die in front of the cross so that you can rise again with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And that you're willing to surrender your life to Him. And you live for Him. Maybe you've done that. Maybe I'm sure that I will see you in heaven. Not just in future. Right now, you also have the same feelings I have. You may not have all the characteristics. Joy, peace, love for others, cares, yearnings, eagerness to read God's word, all come naturally. And as you grow on this path, all these characteristics become stronger and stronger. And you're more like Jesus Christ Himself. Are you really saved? Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, thank you for getting us, Francis, here. May your Spirit convict us. For those of us who are not really saved yet, help us have a deep sense of remorseness that we are willing to surrender our lives to you. Not just be contented with being just a cultural Christian. And for those of us who are saved but not sure yet, again, your Spirit encourages, stamp on us your seal so that we feel the joy and peace. Not just because of your work, we ourselves also take the initiative to get close to you. Then we'll feel intimate with you. So that we'll be strong, good Christian, following you day by day, and you transform us and use us, bless our life, and use us as a channel of blessings for many, many people. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.